Hey, welcome back to Down and 30. I am your host, Elizabeth, and welcome back to part two of the Uncle Ted, aka Ted Bundy special. I've got my cousins here again with me this week, and we thought it'd be fun to break up this episode into a two-part, introduce you to Ted Bundy, give you the ins and outs of all the crimes. And today we are going to dive into how and why he became part of our family's history. So we've got the gang back. We've got myself, we've got Carrie, we've got Bridget, and we've got Molly here joining us. Molly, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
The gang is all here. Yeah, we're gonna take this time today to dive into the early life of Ted Bundy, and this is where, unfortunately for them, fortunately for us, our family met and interacted with good old TB. Yeah, he just became part of our family ever since then. So if you haven't checked out part one of the Ted Bundy special, do so now because all the details of the crimes and whatnot are in that episode, and we cannot stress this enough. Even though he was like, he's our family's neighbor, we don't support his crimes, and we don't want to romanticize, and we don't want to diminish the crimes. But there's some shit to unpack from the childhood, so it's going to be a little bit of candid banter, and we're just here to give you the fresh take on good old Theodore Robert Bundy. Let's just take it back to where it all started. Let's dive on into the childhood, to the birth. Anyone have anything interesting to add? Anything
This is a
outstanding?
very nice fun fact to throw in, like for an icebreaker. Our parents lived across the street from Ted Bundy, and people don't believe it at all. Right.
Literally, we mentioned the same icebreaker in part one, and that is so effing funny. No
Oh
one believes it.
my
No one believes it. Ever.
Bridge
But
and
it's,
I, when we were in New Orleans, we went to the Museum of Death, and they had a whole exhibit on Ted Bundy, and we told the worker, the guy who owned the museum, that we told him this fun fact, and he truly didn't believe us. I think he must hear like a bunch of insane fun facts like this, but yeah, he did not believe.
We should have hit him with the specific street address, because then he
I
could have
know
looked it up and
details.
verified. Yeah, because it is such an obscure time in
Right.
the Bundy timeline.
It was
Yeah.
Right.
brief. When
It
he
was
first
brief.
lived in Philadelphia as a kid, I don't believe that it was at the same address. I should say, I can't confirm if it was or wasn't at the same address, but it was confirmed for that brief period of time that he enrolled at Temple for a little less than a semester. The address is confirmed. And it's not just we think Ted Bundy was there. Like, no, the people that he lived with, those were our parents' neighbors. Like, forever. Like, it's not just like some weird little like, oh, haha, we think he passed through. Like, no, the people that he stayed with for that period of time were their neighbors for as long as our parents can
Right. And
remember.
it is such a weird time period within his whole story, because you don't typically hear about that stage of his life.
No, you
And I
don't.
think
And
it's
that's one of the things that I was saying in part one that really tied it together was reading this book. And Mal, I think your dad had read it too, The Bundy
Yes, he
Murders.
always talks about it, and I need to
Yes.
read it.
So I have a copy, and this was a really good way to think about the timeline because, interestingly enough, and last episode I explained how the timeline would sort of fit together. So just to figure out how this timeline of us knowing him came into play, he was a baby in the Philadelphia area, and due to issues surrounding the of this is lingo of the times, the legitimacy of his birth, his mom and him moved over to the West Coast to live with some family in Washington, where he lived most of his childhood. And then not until suffering to him a devastating breakup in college did he kind of lose his shit. Ditched Washington State because he was like, I can't go back there. My girlfriend's there. He was just a heartbroken fuck. And did some traveling and hit up family in the Philly area. And that's when he ended up on, I'm not going to give the house number. It's public. It's out there. It's in the books. It's on the websites. But that's when he moved to South Warner Road in Lafayette Hill outside of Philadelphia in that period of time between dropping out of school and starting back up. He knew he wanted to go back, but he didn't want to go back to Washington. And it's that pivotal breakup moment that they sort of speculate is what started all of this for him. Like, he was clearly in this, like, breakdown, grieving state. The ego's fractured as fuck. And he goes on this spiral. And it's during this time that they actually speculate that his first murder, like we mentioned, actually happened on the East Coast. But it was never confirmed. And he didn't officially admit to it, but he alluded in his interviews on death row that he is responsible for abducting and murdering women while he lived in the Philadelphia area. And right. He basically said that one of the reasons he wanted to leave was because the area was crowded and dirty.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, you can leave.
Yeah, we're good. We are good.
We're good.
What in the bad things happen in Philadelphia is that?
I don't hear about in his life.
Right? Yeah. No, it was for the story, mm-hmm. it's such, like, for his specific mental state story, it's such a pivotal point.
Right. And you never hear about it.
But for the timeline of the crimes, it's like, it's so underrepresented.
That's so true.
You know, which is just, is crazy.
I was going to say, so let's say who, so we've alluded to the fact that he moved back to the Philadelphia area and moved in with some relatives who were our parents' lifelong neighbors. Let's just, you know, let everybody know who those neighbors were. It was his grandfather.
Maternal grandfather,
correct. His aunt, his mother's sister. And was his cousin born at the time? Yeah, right?
I think the cousin's a little younger.
Okay.
Brucey? Oh, but God. Should I not
Bruce,
say it?
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
Cousin Bruce. No, Bruce is, like, hopefully doing well. But, yeah, so he moved in with his grandfather and his aunt, maternal side, while attending Temple. And that's who our parents lived across from their entire lives. And we will definitely get into some stories about that.
Some stories, for sure. So we'll give a quick little synopsis. Again, this man did not sit still. Like, he was fucking moving and shaking. He was born in the mid to late 1940s. And again, the circumstances surrounding the birth were a little iffy. So the going story is that his mom got pregnant. She was unmarried. And eventually her parents sent her to what was called the Elizabeth Lund home for unwed mothers. You want to talk about, like, 6 degrees of separation? His girlfriend was Elizabeth. He was born at a place called Elizabeth, and I'm Elizabeth. So again,
right.
Far be it from me to deny him as my birth father.
Who is to say?
You know, I'm open to interpretation here. So yeah, he was born, and his maternal grandparents from birth after the whole, you know, little unwed mother's home. His maternal grandparents raised him as their son. And for a good majority of his life, he was led to believe that his mother was actually his sister. And during the first few years of his life, he did actually live in Philadelphia. I believe it was an area either in or right outside of Roxborough. Whether that means Lafayette Hill at that point in time or not, I'm not sure, because Lafayette Hill pretty much borders Roxborough. So it's kind of like, was it just, you know, misreporting on a small town, or was it a different house at the time?
Interesting.
I kind of think it was a different house, but I forget if in my reading and research if that was clarified or not. Regardless, I mean, it's, you know, it's all still within 10 to 15 minutes of where we're all sitting right now.
Right.
So, you know, again, he's a little East Coast baby. There was a lot of rumors, still are rumors, circulating about his birth father. And it's a little taboo to talk about, but it's out there on the internet. So, who am I to keep something from the public? There are rumors about whether his birth father and his maternal grandfather were also one and the same. That's
right,
the going
and
rumor.
And not only is this out on the internet, but it was, like, the rumor on the street, right? like our parents like heard it.
That was the rumor on the street.
Right. So we have like the inside scoop.
That's where I first heard it.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, I know my dad has been saying that forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems very on brand, like the incest of it all. Like, no offense. But.
Right. Which we alluded to in episode one, or part one, rather, about, you know, what could maybe help explain the deep-seated mental illness that could lead someone to do the heinous things that he did. Not saying it's an excuse or anything, by no means, but, like, maybe it helped the same people like us try to, like, you know, reason with it more and come up with like cause and effect. If he was the product of incest, okay, like there's really probably something going on.
And not even just on a mental psychological level. Like if you think about, no offense, we don't breed people. Well, that's probably a political stance. But if you think about breeding dogs, like there are certain health defects, physically and otherwise, that come with inbreeding. Not going to talk about the South right now, but we're going to talk about, like, there are physical things that go wrong with incest. Mm-hmm. So again, like, you think about that would break even a sane person to find out, like, wait, my grandpa is also my dad. So that means my mom is also my sister. That means my grandpa, like there's a lot to unpack there. But then when you think about the chemistry, the possible physical components, there's something to that. There's a little bit of traction there for me.
Also, not even to mention the abusive side of it all, like the mental, the chemical, the emotional, like all of that. And then it's like, okay, well, grandfather was fucked up enough to impregnate his own daughter.
Right.
Think about what other abuse is going on in that household.
That no one's ever heard of or been uncovered.
Oh, just you wait.
Right. And so we know from our parents what a horrible grump he was. So we'll get into that. But yeah, sorry, go on.
But also, and then picture this. Like, there was definitely some traction to this rumor because the pinnacle for Ted and what prompted him to sort of, you know, have this somewhat disdain towards his family, he was actually confronted by a cousin, not the cousin that we know of, not the one that our parents like went to school with and like knew from the neighborhood, but someone closer to Ted's age, because he was a good few years older than all of our parents. A cousin of his actually said, like use the words like, yo, Ted, you're a bastard. Like, your shit's not legit, brother. It's reported that Ted, like, later sought out, like, the birth record, and whatever was told to him, he confirmed. That is still, again, it's still rumor, but whatever was told to him apparently is suspected to have been confirmed during the time he moved back to the Philly area for law school, which, again, fits that timeline of confirm the story of your interesting birth history coinciding with the rumored first murder or murders, it makes perfect sense.
It aligns.
Exactly. So that's what I was saying in the first episode about, like, once you know about the background, the timeline sort of makes sense. Like, to the public, to the naked eye, it looks like everything started in Washington, but once you figure out the psychological and the personal aspects of him, you're like, oh, wait, that story about the Philly murders makes sense. And in no certain words, he admitted to it while on death row. So it's like, you know.
Yeah, it plays a much bigger role in the entire story than anyone really knows, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we shaped Ted's future. So sorry for that, you know. There was all that and, you know, the whole you're a bastard shit. So all this was happening and I think it was like multiple family members were sort of like, yo, like don't stick around here, you know, just pack it up. And Ted and his mom moved back to Washington where they had family. She actually remarried at this time. So she had a different last name and he had one last name. Someone was Cowell, someone was something else. But they did it because they didn't want the issue of, hey, wait, why is your last name the same as your mom's mm-hmm. last name? Because traditionally in that time, your last name as a kid should not be the if your mom doesn't have a husband type of thing, like very traditional yeah. roles. So there was a lot of that going on. Mm-hmm. But then when they moved back to Washington, his mom remarried some gentleman with the last name Bundy. So Ted's now stepdad. And Ted eventually took that name. So the family name is Cowell. But he assumed the name of Bundy after his mom was remarried.
Yes.
So that's where
this is a good refresher for me, yes. too.
That's where that little great. Name change came from. It's not like a pseudonym or anything, a ghostwriter. No. He that was his stepdad. Again, we're not blaming any person or persons or any situation or situations. Again, it's one of those classic things of like the perfect storm. So many components happening. Clearly uh-huh. someone with some sort of dissociating personality disorder predisposition. And you couple that with all of this and it's like mm-hmm. diabolical. Very that.
Yeah, perfect storm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, and you know, if we want to also think about the violence that kind of brewed amongst the family, you know, looking at Gramps, we can definitely get into that and his violent streak on South Warner Road.
So this is, you know, this should be mentioned that this shit is pre, during, and post Ted's return. Like, this is not just this guy was fucked, like mm-hmm. fully fucked. So Ted didn't come back. Like, Ted did not live out his adolescence in the Philadelphia area. But, I mean, my mom was 59. Bridge, your mom was like, what, 57 or something? And then there's a handful of siblings before them. And they've lived on that road, South Warner, in Lafayette Hill forever. And this uh-huh. guy, this grandpa, has lived there. So this is not just like a Ted thing. Like, this guy was there and like he was like the classic, the fucking neighborhood grump.
I was just gonna ass. Say, like the get off old my man.
Very that.
Old man Jenkins.
Yeah, like very, very like all right.
Get
like
off
just,
my yard, get off the street.
Yeah, yeah, throw it out there. Like, I've got some shit, we've all got some shit. What was Sam doing? AKA Gramps. That's what they called him. Like, Gramps was not, like, his name. Like, our parents called him Gramps.
Yeah.
That was his nickname. Like, that was, like, their neighbor. Like, their next-door neighbor. I wanna drive this home. Regardless of the fact that Ted might have only lived there as an adult for, like, a month or two, their neighbor across the street, let's say their address growing up was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ted's was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Like, very that. Like, they lived there. Like, that was their neighbor.
Like, we're not just being like, oh, yeah, they were from the same town.
No.
Like,
no.
You
no.
look out your window and seeing into their house.
For instance, so, Kurt, your mom is a little bit younger, so I'm not too fuzzy on exactly the room setup. But I know that my mom, Bridget's mom, and a couple of our other aunts, I don't know at this specific time who else was in the room, but they all shared a front bedroom. It was like two sets of bunk beds and 1,800 kids in there. They shared a front bedroom.
It's a back to lawn chairs, I think, by mom's
lawn chair. For sure, for sure. So set the stage. Like, you're like an adolescent, a preteen, an early teen, and you're sharing a front bedroom with your sisters. My mom said, and this is so of the times, it's like hilarious. My mom said, like, her dad on at least one, if not more than one occasions, like, came into the room, was like, what are you girls doing in here? Like, put your blinds down. Like, what are you doing with the blinds up? This and that. And it, like, we now realize, like, Bundy before the murders and the break-ins was a confirmed peeping Tom. So to uh-huh. me, it's just like, instead of coming to his daughters and being like, yo, like, Sam Cowell's grandson is a pervert. Like, put your blinds down. I'm worried about you.
Also, Sam.
Like, well Sam was a pervert. But, like, I just feel like, you know, saying to them, like, what the fuck are you doing with your blinds down? Like, I just think that's beautiful. Like, there's just not, like, the passion in that, you know? Come on.
Did we get into how your moms and our aunts fall into his typical stereotype of his victims?
No, because no offense, but I still clown my mom on the daily. I said, no offense, what was wrong with you that he didn't, you were his type.
Right, we always joke about that.
I said, no offense. Right. Were you ugly?
Long, dark hair, middle part. It just, like, fits the profile, which is so scary. But, like...
At that point in time, my mom, I know, was not in his age range at the time. His age range at that time was 18 to 26. And my mom was a little younger than that at that point. So the other ones, I don't know. Real, just not.
Right. I don't know. Just,
well, thankfully. Let's be real. Like, yeah. Like, sis would have beaten him up. Like,
right.
Our one aunt, you know, she wouldn't have even, like, looked.
She probably did. I
mean, she probably did, is right. Wait, but hold on. I am really hung up on the blinds.
Oh, the blinds is so real.
Because I think, you know, regardless of whether Bundy, Ted, well, we'll call him Ted, whether or not Ted was actually there, Uncle Ted was across the street or not, it's really indicative of what a perv Gramps was.
Yeah. Because
not even a perv. I think an abuser.
Can we reveal the big secret?
Which?
The PS.
The PS.
Oh, wait, yeah. wait. No, hold, no, that's wow. That's the pinnacle.
The grand finale.
No, because we have, because Ted has to be present for that, because Ted plays a part in that. So that's something special. But one other thing, in addition to the blinds, and this could be pre-Ted, but my mom told me, and I don't know if anyone else's parent has this same memory, but again, they had the front bedroom, and you know, the way that their house was set up in the front of the house on the ground floor was the living room area, the kitchen dining room area, and then upstairs, at least two bedrooms, I believe, faced, you know, the front, so faced across the street. My mom said that you could just randomly hear blood-curdling screaming coming from that house.
No.
And, yeah, screaming.
Yikes.
Like, screaming. So I don't know if it was, like, a domestic violence situation, what was happening over there, but my mom said, like, screaming.
That's horrifying.
Well, and also, so we, it's rumored that he impregnated his daughter, Ted's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had the other daughter. I know, the other words are so much harsher, and, like, but then he had the other daughter, so Ted's aunt, who then would also have been his sister, which is, like, a whole thing to unpack, so she lived there for forever, and my mom was saying, like, how scary, like, mentally unstable she was, and it's like, well, yeah, like, think about probably all the abuse she sustained while living there, the blood-curdling screams, was it her, was it poor Brucey, like, God knows. But my mom said, and she's like, it's not funny, but, like, it was funny at the time, she was so crazy, she would stand with her shovel at the back door, the aunt, and wait, like, on a cloudy, cold day, the second a snowflake would fall, she would be outside trying to shovel imaginary snow.
Oh, my God.
Like,
she had to, like, put her energy somewhere.
Right, like, yeah. I mean... so scary and just, like, crazy.
Do we know her name?
Audrey.
Oh, Audrey, yes.
Mrs. Taylor?
Yeah, that's Mrs. Taylor. Well,
yeah, so adding this tidbit, this home where our parents grew up is also the home that I lived in as a child as well. And she was still our neighbor at that.
Like, yes! She lived there. Like, yeah. She lived there. She was not just passing through.
Very old at the time, I guess, but she was always, like, the mean old lady, like, yes. Same by how Gramps was.
It's yeah. So scary. Wait, I, like, never really thought that through. Like, wow, that's crazy that, like, Ted's aunt lived there.
Right. Wow. I lived there, so it's just all, everything overlaps, because, like, she was there still at that time.
And was for sure. Gramps' son as well?
Wait, what was that?
I don't know.
Audrey's son, Bruce, was Bruce Gramps' son.
That's never been a rumor that I've heard of. I heard, I believe, in, you know, all things considered, that he was a fairly well-adjusted person, all things considered. But that's all I know.
Right, I wonder then.
But yeah, she, like, you know, if you think about it, she had a different last name. So I don't know if that's a married last name. Because his, I know that Brucey's last name is the same as her last name. So I think that maybe there was a marriage involved there. And possibly a dad that wasn't also her dad. One of those things. But yeah, very that. I mean, the family, like, big ass family ties to this area. So yeah, after our... You know, after our parents, you know, lived out their childhoods and our grandparents passed away, Molly and her parents lived there and you know, the whole bit for a little while. So the house for many, many years was in the family and they were always there. This family was always there. So it's not just like, again, it's not just this little fleeting thing.
No,
like,
yeah, it's not a snippet.
That was the neighbors.
Yeah.
You know?
I need to know the story of the swinging cat.
Let's pop back to Gramps for a second. Let's circle back to Gramps.
Because I need to know.
So set the scene. Like, so picture in your mind's eye someone who is capable of all the things that we've pictured before. I want to really dive into Gramps. Because Gramps is really the pinnacle of yeah, what was right. happening over there. Ted was fleeting. Ted is like a blip on our radar. It's Gramps that... That's our guy here. So Gramps, you know, picture someone who whatever was happening in that house was enough to have the neighbors be able to hear the screams. Rumors, like first count rumors from neighbors that Gramps would, and I'm doing air quotes now, you can't see me, would swing neighborhood cats by the tails. Like, in front of people, like, as, just as torture. Like, he would just, like, swing.
The animal abuse of it all, so that's definitely matching up with other sources.
It's, like, it's not hearsay, like, that's someone's memory. Like, whether exactly what the memory reads is exactly what happened is one thing, but that's someone's memory.
Our parents also had a lot of pets, so...
So many pets!
I'm sure they were victims as well.
If my grandparent pets were swung...
Wait, wasn't one of their cats, like, didn't have eyes or something?
Yeah, Cleo.
Or just was blind?
No, like, not Cleo!
No, Cleo was half blind!
No, that was Cat.
Oh, excuse me.
They had damaged pets.
There was, the squirrel and the raccoon... I thought Cleo was blind. Confirm on that.
I'm positive, because that was my mom's pride and joy, that cat.
No, confirm. All right, well, one of them, then fine. Then Cleo was, no offense, the asshole, who used to stare at my mom from the top bunk. And my mom was like, I don't like that cat. It probably exactly got swung. Damn it. So, no, yeah, he was out there swanging them things. And so that's one piece of it. And then, yeah, very, like, if kids would cut through his lawn, he would, like, threaten them. Like, are you kidding me? You're swinging cats. Right? Threaten.
Just, like, literally the stereotypical scary old man neighbor. It's insane.
Like, that you think of in a cartoon, but, like, this is actually real. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, the swinging of cats. That's not hearsay. The jumping. I mean, the threatening. Like... The pouncing on the front porch if people would pass through, like, also not hearsay. And then what else can we add about Gramps? What was Gramps working with? Talk about the gravel.
Oh, okay.
This is hysterical.
So a story that my dad has told me numerous times when I asked him about having Gramps as a neighbor. My dad said he was, like, always a drunken old man, would just be drunk all the time. I don't know if we've mentioned that yet, but... He would drive home drunk, park in his driveway, and then just pass out. So my dad, along with some of his other siblings, would hide near the car and just pick up gravel. And as my dad said, throw it on the car like it was raining to try to, like, mess with Gramps. So that was his, like, main story of Gramps. Just, like, all the kids in the neighborhood would always just try to mess with him because he was the mean old man neighbor.
And now you all know where I get it from.
So good.
That's, so, like, that is literally hysterical.
A good family anecdote. Just, like, weird things. I don't know.
I love the gravel.
No, it's so good. All right, what about Gramps do you want to unpack? All right, let's just go there. So interestingly enough, so let's pretend, let's circle back. Let's say that we're at this point in time. Bundy's there. He knows what the vibes is. Let's talk about it. Break into Pia.
So yeah, along with Gramps' drunken tendencies, his animal abusing, he is supposed to have had a shed in their backyard. Also to mention, their backyard at the time just led up to a bunch of woods. So now, current day, there's a brand new neighborhood, but before it was just all woods. So this shed was a porn shed, as described by my dad. So I don't know really what that means in detail, or like what kind of things were in there, or if activities were happening within there, but just an alleged porn shed in their backyard.
And apparently Ted would indulge. Like,
it's so scary.
Yeah, Ted would indulge. There are reports that, ew, this is so sickening. So, like, again, the apple does not fall far from the porn shed tree. There are reports, and, like, in an interview with Ted, he described his fourth grade teacher as voluptuous. Voluptuous? Voluptuous. See,
no. Yeah, so porn shed, I don't know why in my mind I always picture like an outhouse.
Just for sure.
With just photos and scary things covering the walls. So
Very circle jerk.
Sorry, I was gonna say, I need to know, like, did your dad peek inside?
I don't know.
No.
He was young. He was very young.
My uncle's not a pervert.
Yeah, but, like, how did he know it was porn?
I believe, is in one of the books.
I need to find out.
Porn shed is in a book.
He did say he got that.
So, like, here's the thing. Your neighbor has a shed. You think it's a shed. You read 30 years later, after his son or grandson kills 100 million people, that it's a porn shed. It's now, like, the shed's looking a little different, you know?
So, yeah, unsure if any activities were also happening in those woods that backed up to their house. I don't know. A lot of scary things.
We thought there were woods, but there were porn woods.
It was porn woods. It was wood, all right.
Porn.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It was
like
wood.
It's crazy to even picture woods back there, because even like when we were alive, it wasn't woods. Yeah. It was like hurting my head that, like, do you think there were any victims back there?
And that's what
in the woods.
Yeah, like we never know.
I almost want to say no, and the reason I say no is because the story about, well, do you mean Ted's victims?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I say no is because he himself allegedly gave this firsthand account that he had tried to abduct a woman in Ocean City, and he failed. No. And at that point, he realized, like, he didn't have the execution down pat. So during that time, and again, it was fleeting as an adult, it was fleeting for him to be there. But then he did later say that I am probably responsible for at least these two deaths in the Philly/New Jersey area. And he does attribute that to being his first murder. Actually, this situation, some hotel, there's a news article out there about it. A hotel or a motel on the Ocean City boardwalk is allegedly where he met and abducted these two women before killing them. And I believe, if memory serves correctly, that the bodies were found somewhere on the Garden State Parkway. And they were not attributed to him, but allegedly, while on death row during interviews, he admitted that he's probably responsible for some deaths of that nature at that time, which is such a Ted thing to do, because, like, he wouldn't admit things outright. He would do the whole, if I did, and if it was me during that time, I would have done it this way. Like, very, very that. Very O.J. Simpson-esque.
I was just going to say, very O.J.
Very that.
Or so, I guess O.J. was very
Ted. So take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a porn shed. Take it with a cattail. Take it with whatever you want to take. But, like, there's a lot to unpack there.
A lot.
You know?
no one knows these stories.
No.
Like, this is as many podcasts and
no, this is Unseen, Uncut.
Everything, like, no one has talked about this.
Well, on the porn of it all, I should fact check this, but I watched an interview of Bundy in jail, and he, like, talked, like, credited porn, basically, with, like, the reason being why he's, like, was so easy to, like, objectify women and being able to kill them. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he watched violent porn as a child. Violent porn.
He had easy access to it in his backyard.
In the shed! In the chateau! In the backyard!
Literally the chateau.
Yeah. So again, like it porn is not the culprit here. Mm-hmm. You know, no one person, no one thing is the culprit here. You've got this perfect ass storm and a bit of alleged incest. And here we are, you know?
It is just, and also we also have to say that our parents witnessed and saw firsthand the Volkswagen, like the Volkswagen that was transcontinental at this point. He took that shit everywhere. Like,
everywhere.
Just giving the chills.
Well, because, like I said in part one, when his girlfriend broke up with him, he drove from Washington to the Philadelphia area. And this is, like, unpopular opinion. Like, I forget how and why, but, like, one time my mom brought this up, and everyone was like, no, no way, like, can't be, like, this just can't fucking be it. So, one of my mom's stories, and this is before I even read any of these books, was that I don't remember much about Ted and him personally, specifically. She was like, but I know that their grandson lived with them for a while, and she was like, and he would use crutches. And I was like, oh, like, that is just, like, so he was still doing the crutch shit. Well, not still, because that was the beginning of it. But, like, again, it fits. It's all real. And, like, a lot of the stories only recount the arm sling, but my mom's memory was of the crutches, which was his other shtick.
Wow.
Which is just crazy.
Yeah, Mary remembers the crutches too.
It's it's clear. Insane. It's insane. But yeah, it's like, so my crazy. Like, my mom said one time, like, she was like, I feel like I, like, called my siblings and was like, yo, do you know, like, you know, Audrey's nephew or whatever? Like, that's Ted Bundy. And it was like the pieces, because again, this all broke in the 80s. Like, the pieces weren't all together at that point. Like, I wasn't even born when he was executed. So, like, all these pieces came together, and she was like, wait a minute. She was like, I think that was their grandson or nephew or some shit. And then, like, their whole shit was just blown out of the water. They were like, oh my God, Gramps really was a freak of the week. Like, that's look at this so shit. Scary. Like, this is, he's doing the necrophilia shit out in Washington and beyond. And yeah.
It just, yeah, it all comes together.
Isn't that freaky?
It's
so crazy.
It just, yeah.
And this is not some fake shit. Like, there's what, 12 siblings, 10 living, and they all know the exact same story. So this ain't no, this ain't no bullshit. Crazy. So this is Netflix shit.
It really is.
Zac Efron could never.
I don't know why they weren't interviewed for the Bundy tapes.
I don't even want to publish this episode until someone pays us.
I know.
Because this is some rock solid porn shed gold.
Our family has literally kept this a secret out of fear.
That's so of the times. Like, oh, we didn't talk about Gramps.
I know. No.
My neighbor picks up his mail funny, and I'm like, Dad, when you lived here, did your neighbor, like, my neighbors can't do shit without me noticing. And you had somebody swinging cats?
And the DUI of it all.
Like
right.
Out in the driveway.
Come on.
Couldn't make it in the house. Couldn't even make it to the porn shed.
No, couldn't even make it to the porn shed.
Mm-mm. No, he was just out there swanging in the driveway.
That is horrifying.
Driveway, was he parked in the middle of the street?
I know, I need to know.
No, didn't they have that subtle uphill driveway?
Oh,
Yeah, they do have an uphill driveway.
Well, so I remember that house like it was yesterday. I'm telling y'all, 30 and 25, not to toot my own horn, 30 and 25, not so different. But when you're a kid, the memories hit different. I'm like, did I date Ted? No, he was dead.
He's gone from your dad's. Oh, but that's very grand of you. He's your dad and your...
It's very fitting. He still could. If I didn't look exactly like my dad, I would say it's possible. Same. You know?
Or Beth, not to be really horrible, do you think you're him reincarnated? You said he was executed.
I thought about that. He was executed on January 24th, 1989.
Do the math.
Here's the thing. Have I swung a cat? Maybe. It's not outside of the realm of what I'm capable of, so.
The cat swinging is just otherworldly.
Isn't that bizarre, though? Like, what does that mean?
Like, it's so funny.
The gravitron? Like... But picture being a kid and you watch your old ass neighbor. I've got six stray cats next door and just like again, I'm calling the police.
Right. And like, it's just everything back then was like, all right.
Oh, Gramps is swinging again.
Yeah.
Well, their whole street, like if we really want to break it down, their whole street was psychotic. The neighbors behind them. The son was shooting his mom with a BB gun out.
With the BB gun.
With the second story window, shooting her, and she was screaming for help. And then, like, and then the husband was, like, abusive, and I think they got a real gun on her several times, and it was just like, oh, that's just, like...
So and then you had cats swanging. And then there was the rumor that the one neighbor, who probably just had a lush garden, had crocodiles. Like... We didn't need to be scared of the garden. We had to be scared of Gramps and the cat swinging. But, like, again, nobody was talking about it.
And BB Gun Billy behind them, like, shooting people left and right.
No, our family, they're honestly shitty neighbors. Because, like, if you see something, say something.
Right. You know. people were getting flashed. I don't want to air this out. But there's a report of flashers in the neighborhood. I would like to know what a porn shed in the 70s looked like.
I don't want to look it up.
Like, what was the picture quality?
It was being developed.
You know? Do I dare? Maybe do I dare like Google room. 70s porn?
Do it. What do I care? So I can definitely not.
I'm probably already on blacklist on the internet.
Not.
All right, I'm going to do a 1970s porn search.
Thought about that.
Like, I don't know what... There? Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Okay, so 1970s porn is exactly what you would think it is. A lot of bush, a lot of headband, a lot of feathered haircuts.
Hmm.
A lot of bush.
Oh, God.
Okay.
But you know his was, like, not...
Oh, normal. Wow, they were swinging
fair
them
trade. Fair trade. Very
yeah,
very
niche. Oh, no, it was definitely this one. 1970s porn homemade sex pictures. So,
yes,
it's out there. It's out there if you want to see it. It's out there.
It also was 100% kids.
Oy.
Yeah, stop.
It was.
Can't deny or confirm, but a lot of bush.
All right. Is that the
anyone have any more porn shed drama or anything like that? Cat swinging? So that is about all we bring to the porn shed for tonight. We hope that you have been enlightened and engaged and entertained by the family tales. This is not hearsay. This is from our parents. If this gave you any questions or comments or concerns, frankly, take it up with them because this is not my cross to bear. This is just the family tales that have been told to us throughout the years. It is what it is. And frankly, your family could never... And that's my uncle, and you know, far be it from me to cut a family member off. So if you see me sporting a Charge Up Old Sparky t-shirt, just know that I'm just representing the family, you know. But again, none of this was to make fun of or make light of the crimes. It's more of just like, how uncanny is it? Like, I literally thought growing up, like, I thought Ted Bundy was my serial killer. Like, I thought he was like, oh, your local serial killer. Like, I didn't know he was, like, prolific America's Most Wanted. So then to grow up and then to realize, like, holy shit, like, that was my mom's neighbor. Like, just, I just pictured my little mom just, like, you know, doing the little sixth grade stuff, and he's hobbling in the VW Beetle without a passenger seat on some ratchet crutches, and it's like, huh. I look at my neighbors now, and I'm like, what's the capability here?
It's so funny because I feel like when all the recent documentaries came out, like the Ted Bundy tapes and then the Zac Efron one, a local, like, Conshohocken news site put out an article, like, Ted Bundy used to live in Lafayette Hill. And we were like, duh.
First of all, we broke this news years ago.
Everyone was like, oh, my God, I live right near there. Oh, my God, I'm from Lafayette Hill. And we're like,
no. Meanwhile, Uncle Tim's like, I saw the porn shed. Like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Like, my mom wore the crutches. Like, what do you mean? Like, bizarre.
She definitely took them for his friend.
That is so, that's so, that would be so my mom. Can I try your crutches?
So her to just hobble away.
Oh, I can't. So, yeah, no one knows Uncle Ted like we do. You know, God bless old Sparky. That shit sparked off. January 24th, 1989. He may have died there, but, you know, the family memories live on.
It's crazy.
It's not the conventional family tree, but it's our family tree, so I don't know what to tell you. But we thank you for indulging us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys for coming on. Honestly, if anyone, like, disputes this, like, I don't. You know, we don't have time for it. Like, this is,
we don't want the comments.
You know, this is just it, and this is just, it's just the facts of life. And stay tuned for the book and the Netflix documentary. Nobody swings a cat like Uncle Sam. So
nobody.
So take that with a grain of salt. But thank you guys so much. This is a wrap on part two. This is a wrap on the spooky season series. And
finale?
Yeah, this is it. This is the big finale.
Nice.
At this point, by the time this airs, I think it'll be November. So we're going to be doing the Thanksgiving shit soon. Stay so tuned exciting. For that. Yeah. But thanks everyone for listening. And this could be it for November, honestly. I might just, I might sail off into the porn shed and... You know, just have a month of it. All right. No shit. Thank you guys, everyone, for listening in. Thank you guys for joining. It's a wrap. And we'll catch you next time. It's time to get down in 30. Could be December at this point. Who really knows? Peace out. Swing your cats.